Open your Old Testament to the book of Songs, Psalms 136, 1, 3, 6. Psalms 136. We have visitors, as always, and we are grateful. We're thankful that you're here. We're excited that you're here. Want to get to know you if we can after our services. We have a Bible class, one adult Bible class here in the auditorium right after services. We're working on some of the new songs that you heard this morning that Michael led and did a fabulous job leading, and the congregation did a fabulous job singing. And so grateful for those efforts. And again, HE, for the comments that you made and the reading of the scripture, which oftentimes we don't do. We need to read the scripture more. And enjoy the perfectness of it as we consider Jesus Christ and his life and death and his resurrection. Every year at Thanksgiving, we are reminded that we have so much to be thankful for. There is a great and appropriate emphasis during this time of Thanksgiving. We thank God for the blessings of family, our health, our citizenship in these United States. We live comfortably. We live secure, much of which because of our law enforcement, because of Dalton and H.E., and those men and women who have taken on that charge. In comparison with most people in the world, I guess you could say it relegates us to almost the position of kings and queens, heads of state. So much of the world lives in turmoil and in poverty. It's always sobering to me when I think of what our life might have been had we been born in another country at another time. It's appropriate to give thanks for material blessings. I'm not saying that it's not. However, I believe that we must see beyond material blessings. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. That's what he teaches us. We owe him our very lives, physically and spiritually. Every breath that we take on this planet is a gift from him. Every pleasure that we enjoy is a gift from him. Every satisfaction that is derived is a gift from him. The beauty of creation is a gift of love from the Lord of creation. So this morning, I want to focus on a blessing that I believe is oftentimes overlooked as we consider Thanksgiving. Yet it is a blessing, I believe, that is very foundational to every other blessing that we know. So this morning, I want to let the Word of God remind us to give thanks for the character of God, for his character. Now, we will not, by any stretch of the imagination, be able to probe the depth and the wonder and the blessing of God's character in totality. We do want to look at the first several verses of Psalms 136 to remind us of some of the reasons that we should give thanks to the Lord. Now, this psalm was originally set up to be sung. I think it is interesting, really. It's known as a part of the great Hallel. the singing of which was a regular part of the Jewish Passover and even their New Year's celebration. Some believe that the psalm was also a part of their daily worship celebration. Don't you think it's interesting that in Scripture, in the Old Testament, that singing is referred to so much? I think that's interesting. Maybe a topic for another day. But what I want to do now is I want to look at the specifics. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures. What I see there is the godness of God. I want you to look at the way that David begins each of these three verses. He says, give thanks to the Lord. He said, give thanks to the God of gods. He says, give thanks to the Lord of lords. David is not suggesting that we give thanks to some undefined spiritual being that makes us feel safe and that makes us feel secure. David urges us to give our thanks to the one and only true and supreme God. The Apostle Paul wrote about this whenever he said, so what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god and that there is only one God. There may be so-called gods, both in heaven and on earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords. But for us, there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. Our thanks should be to the true and living God. He is the God who made us. He is the God who sustains us. He is the God that rules over all things. He is the only King. And our praise and thanksgiving should be very focused on these things. The God we think is the one before whom everyone must bow. And everyone will bow, the Scripture says, one day, regardless of religion or race or nationality or status or whatever the case might be. This is the true God who has revealed Himself in nature. I was just talking to one of the elders yesterday at the church at Kleinwood. He came by the house and he was inquiring regarding Mark and wanted to know how Mark was doing. Mark Mann, one of our elders, is right now in rehab, having had a very severe stroke, and the right side of his body has been paralyzed, but he's making improvement, and praise God for that improvement. But anyway, the elder and I were talking outside in my driveway, and you know, I said to him, I said, Craig, just think about the brain that we have and the intricacies of the brain and all the different areas and what happens when one part of that brain doesn't function. Neurologists will tell you that they don't have half of the knowledge that they need to have in order to put their arms around the brain, or the eye for that matter. And Craig looked at me and he said, you know what, Steve? That should lead a man to the only true and living God. He's revealed Himself in nature. You know, I love the Rocky Mountains. You guys know that. I love to hike. I love the beauty of the mountains. I grew up on the coast, right? I'm not much for the beach. I never have been too much for the beach. But anyway, I do love the mountains very much. And You know, when you're driving to Estes Park, which is one of my favorite spots, you're driving along, going up through these passes and everything, and then you make this one curve. And when you make that one turn right there, and I'm always waiting for it, I tell my wife, I say, hold on, hold on, here it comes, okay? And you make that turn, and all of a sudden, the canvas of God appears. Man couldn't make that. That couldn't just happen. That's not a possibility. You look all over the universe, ladies and gentlemen, and there is nothing like it. God has revealed himself in nature. God has revealed himself through his word, through the word of God, that which is perfect and has been revealed for our benefit. So that we can know how to be more like him. So that we can be a part of his family. And then God has revealed himself through Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection. Look, if you were a private in the military and you were given conflicting orders by, let's say, 4 or 5 different officers. All right, you were told by one officer to do this, you were told by the other officer to do this, and this officer said something else, and the other officer said something else. Who should you listen to? Who would you obey? Well, I don't know about you, but I would obey the officer who had the highest rank. That'd probably be a pretty good idea. In the same way, there are a lot of religious voices in the world today. So many. So many people to listen to. But who are we to bow to? We bow to the highest ranking of the supposed gods. The true and the living God, the supreme God, Jehovah, our God. Ladies and gentlemen, we should thank God for the godness of God Almighty. We should thank God for the goodness of God. The Lord is good. It's easy for us to miss the point of why we should be grateful. It's easy for me. So let's think about this phrase, God is good. What does that mean? Well, God is good. He's not evil. We all know that there are good things and there are bad things in this world. And we know what they are, whether you're religious or not. You know what they are. God is good in the sense that God's character is pure. His character is holy. And yes, his character is good. God is not stained by evil. His motives are not corrupt. He is not double-minded or two-faced. He is not hypocritical. He does not compromise his character. And he never, ever gives in to that which is evil. He will not do it. In God's goodness, he will judge the wicked that have hidden themselves from the sacrifice of Jesus, from the blood of Jesus. He will judge. Now, one of the things that I value most about people is their consistency. And that's what I want to be. I want to be consistent. I've always admired that. And I respect those folks who are people of character, no matter what the circumstances are. I want to be that way. These folks are honest when they are given too much change. or when they are short-changed. When Caitlin Gale was just a little girl, I don't know if she was even two, we went to the grocery, and we had gotten all of our food and everything that we were there to buy, and we were going out to the car, and I had Caitlin in my, I'll never forget it, I had Caitlin in my left arm. And I looked at her and smiled, and she held up one of those rolls of Mentos. She said, I think she said, Daddy. Well, I knew I hadn't bought any Mentos. And my wife hadn't bought any Mentos. So Caitlin must have bought the Mentos. But Caitlin didn't have any money. So I looked at that and I said, well, what is that? And she just smiled. I said, well, now let's just go right on back into that store. And we marched right on back into that store. We went to the manager of that store. I said, Caitlin, these are not yours. We have not paid for these. So you must give this back to this gentleman because this is where it belongs. They own this. This is theirs, not ours. And of course, the manager was just, you know, he couldn't believe it and all. But anyway, I gave it, or Caitlin gave it to him, and then I said, now can I have those back, and how much is it? And I paid the man. And Caitlin got to have the Mentos. Listen to me. I think it is so important that we be people of character. We be honest. You work hard when others are present. You work hard when they're not present. That's a person of character. These people speak kindly about others in their presence, and they speak kindly about others behind their back. God is perfectly consistent. Scripture teaches me there is no shadow of turning with him. No shadow of turning. There is no hint that God will compromise with evil. There is no hint in Scripture that he will ever lie. In fact, we are taught, without exception, that God hates a liar. We have no hint that God will ever renege on a promise. He will not do it. Now, how many people in this world do you know that will renege on a promise? He will not abandon those that he loves and those that love him. And how many fathers today will abandon their children and their wives for no reason other than their own selfishness? God is good in the sense that he is competent and he is consistent. Now, when you have a good employee, what do you mean by that? That good employee is the employee that works well. They do their job. They do the assigned job. They grasp ideas. They are open to new ideas and different ways of approaching things that their management is requesting. They are good team players. They want to be a part of the team. What I say is they get it. They understand. When we talk about God being good, we mean that he is competent. He is competent. He is a God who rules with wisdom. He rules with excellence. What is it that Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 18, teaches? I just thought about that. Jesus says what? Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Aren't you grateful for God's plan? Don't you love it that He always has a plan? Don't you love it that His plan is always perfect? I just love that. In the confusing times of life that we have to deal with every day, it's comforting to me to know that God knows what He's doing in every circumstance. There is no doubt. There is no question in His mind. His plan is perfect, and it's perfect all the time. He has a purpose for everything. And I believe He has a purpose for everything that we have to deal with in this life. If you have a physical ailment, there is something about that for which good is going to come. If you have some kind of horrific thing that happens, like a flood that destroys our homes, something good is going to come from that thing. I believe with all of my heart that God has a purpose for everything. That would include floods. You say, well, how in the world, Steve, could that have had any kind of a good purpose? And I said, well, I'll tell you this. There's a little congregation that I know, and you brethren ought to know this, the generosity of people all over this country, but there's a little congregation I know where those people there have lost everything, their whole house. And what I mean is just knock it down to the cement. And the brethren put $1 million in the bank for those brethren. What did it give our brethren all over the country an opportunity to do? What did it do for us that had to deal with this? We came together. We helped each other. We grew to know each other in a better way. That flood, I believe, had purpose for us. And there was a lot of good that came from it. Yeah, you know, sometimes God is teaching us with these things. Sometimes He's disciplining us. I do believe that when trials come, oftentimes that is to sculpt us, to build character, to teach us for the future, to help us know how to respond. Sometimes God is working in our midst to give us opportunities for ministry and for witness. I made this point the other day. I think it's important. We have a wonderful prayer service here. Those of you that have not had the opportunity or have not made opportunity to come to our prayer service on the first Sunday of every month, you are missing something. But I believe we've missed something in our prayer service. We are very good about listing every kind of thing about every person's illness and problems, even people that we know in the workplace and all of that. And we're real good with that. We list all of those things. And we pray to God to help us and to help those people so that they would get better. And I think there's a place for that. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. What I think we need to pray for is that God Almighty will work in our midst, that the Holy Spirit will work in our midst and give us opportunity for ministry. Listen, everybody is not an evangelist in here. Everybody is not a public teacher in here. Everybody does not have the ability to be the kind of servant that other people can be. We all have different talents. I think what we have to do is we have to pray to God to get involved in our work here at Bel Air. Give us opportunity. All of us need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Let's have the Lord as a part of our evangelistic program. You mothers who are raising your children, is that evangelism? If it's not, I sure would like to know what it is. Is it edification? If it's not, I sure would like to know what it is. There's countless examples of the things that we do in life that can be called evangelism. It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody has to go somewhere and you meet them and open up and have Bible study. Please, ladies and gentlemen, understand that God works in many ways. I have this preacher that I know. He calls me every now and then. He tells me, we baptized 27 this year. 27. We baptized 27 people. And you know what? We gave X amount of money to somewhere overseas and all of that. I'll tell you what, the brethren is doing a great job. And now my question to him is how much retention have you had? Putting them notches on the gun barrel, you know, or on the holster, we'll notch it up, you know. How many we've saved? I just think sometimes that we leave God out of the equation. And I think we shouldn't do that. What's the point? God has a plan. He exercises his role as a ruler of the universe with wisdom and with skill that we can't even comprehend. Goodness sakes, if you look at the body, you can't even comprehend the eye. I had one of the top retina specialists in all of Houston, Texas tell me, we don't know a lot about the eye. Are you kidding me? And of course, he said, God Almighty knows about the eye. We're just learning. God is good. He's good. He's not unpleasant. He cares for us, every last one of us. He cares about us. He notices the things that are going on. I sometimes think that brethren and even myself think that God's up there on the throne, you know, and he's doing other things. He didn't even know what's going on with us, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Listen, he notices everything. Scripture says he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Glory be to God that he loves me so much that he is a faithful father. He is a father. I wish that the fathers in these United States would look to him and the way it is that he cares for his children. Well, there's another aspect for which I believe we need to thank God, and that's his enduring love. And I think it's the focal point of the psalm. His love endures forever. Do you know how many times that this phrase is written in the chapter? 26 times. 26 times in this psalm. The King James Version says, his mercy endureth forever. And I will tell you that both of those phrases are saying the same thing. But what I want to do is I want to look and understand this phrase, his love endures forever. Here we go. Number one, God's love is not fickle, like much of the love in the world that we have to deal with. Well, it's football season, right? And there's a whole lot of fans, especially in the pro ranks, I think, but even in the college ranks, and even in high school for that matter, who are what I call fair-weather fans. You know, they're fair-weather fans. Well, these are the people who cheer for a team whenever they're winning, whenever they're doing well, but they abandon them when there's a struggle going on, or they're having issues on their team, or they're building and they've got young players. Much of the love in our world is like this, I think. I really do as I see it. People are nice when they want something. People are ready to give to you when they want something. They express love to you when things are pleasant. They're our friends as long as we agree with them. On whatever topic it is, the moment circumstances change, Their feelings towards us change. They're not consistent. And this happens so often in so many ways today. But here's the problem. I think we project this kind of love on God from time to time. Understand what it is that I'm trying to tell you, please. If you do this, this is a mistake. And the reason is because God's love is constant. He always loves. His love endures forever. His love endures in the daytime. His love endures in the darkness and gloom of night. Every day that we get out of bed in the morning, we can be sure of one thing, and that is that God Almighty loves us. He cares about us. He desires us. He has not forgotten us because we are His children. My mom, you know, I tell you what, I had a head harder than a brick wall. And she told me one day, she says, you know, I love you, Steve. I was a teenager. I guess I was about 16 or 17 years old. She says, I love you, but she says, I just want to tell you, he said, I hate teenagers. I said, Mama. I said, I'm 16 years old. I'm a teenager. She said, no joke, Sherlock. He loves us so much. He hadn't forgotten us. He's not going to forget us. God's love is certain in difficult times. Now, I don't mean to imply that God is not distressed when we do some of the things that we do. Like a good parent, he doesn't agree with our choices many times. He doesn't like the thoughts that run through our mind. And I might remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you can't think anything that he doesn't know. He hates some of the things we do because he hates sin. But I'll tell you one thing about him. He is a good parent. He's going to be there for us when we need him. And many people have told me that they didn't know who their true friends were until they had to go through some kind of time of difficulty. They found out who their true friends were. Is a sickness that came upon them, or some kind of a physical ailment, or divorce, or a conviction where the individual had to go to jail or something like that, or a financial disaster. Unfortunately, we find that in these times, some of the people that we thought were our friends turn their backs on us. They look away from us. I saw you with him. Lady, I don't know the man. Cock-a-doodle-doo. And Jesus turned and looked at him. And he left weeping. We're all guilty of that. We often are not the friends we ought to be because we don't step forward in difficult times. We step backwards. God can be counted on every last time. He can be counted on. He's going to be there to pick us up when we fall. He's going to rejoice when we succeed. He's not going to give up on us. He will never give up on us. He is committed to us, even though we're fickle, and we are fickle. Our faith runs hot and it runs cold. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Even though this world is changing right before our eyes, God's love is constant. It endures, and it will endure forever. And don't you forget it. God's love gives us security. And it's that security that leads to just the wonderfulness of abiding joy. It's a wonderful thing to experience unconditional love. It's what we all long for. And few find it. Don't you want to know that you can always go home? Don't you want to know that? I mean, just this weekend, I went home. I went to Mom and Dad's. There's something about that. When you walk in the house, I don't know if it's how it smells or what it is, but you're home. You feel secure in that. And when you feel secure in your relationship with God Almighty, your Father, several things are going to happen. You're going to stop looking over your shoulder, waiting for bad things in your life to catch up with you. Have you ever done that? You looking over your shoulder because you know something's got to be bad, something's coming. You don't have to be afraid of failure anymore because you're going to fail. I guarantee you, you will fail. Do you know one of the biggest reasons that we don't do greater things for God Almighty? I believe it's because of fear. Do you know why we fail to reach many of the dreams that we have in our life? I believe it's because of fear. We are afraid that if we fail, people and maybe God are not going to love us anymore. They're not going to look up to us anymore. They're going to think less of us. They're going to turn away. So what we do is we play it safe. I play it safe sometimes. But when you understand the security of God's love, you're not afraid anymore. You're not afraid. His love is sure. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. It's unchangeable. And when we understand the security of God's love, we're going to stop beating ourselves up over the past. There's a whole lot of people that just beat themselves over the head over the past. You come to believe what God Almighty says when He says, if you sincerely confess your sin, He will forgive you. He will forgive you. That's what He says. And when God forgives, I want you to understand the issue is closed. It is over with. It is finished. Whatever the sin, He remembers it no more. Boy, I wish I could be like that. Because when some people have done things to me, man, I'm going to tell you what, I still remember every time I see them. And that's a terrible thing. Because I have forgiven them. But with God, the past is no longer a factor. It has been dealt with. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, we can let the past go. We can move on. And as we learn to rest in His love, we find our life is no more, it's not characterized anymore by these extreme highs and these extreme lows that we go through. Instead, there is joy anchored in the security of God's love. The security that says God is working all things for good. Because that's who He is. He's working all things for what is best for Steve Garrett. I might not think so at the time. Look, my prayer is that gratitude or thanksgiving be an integral part of our lives, not just on Thanksgiving Day. Instead of always complaining to God, and we do this, make it a point to look around you and notice what we're truly blessed for daily. This country we live in, what we have. Be grateful. He gave it to us. Take time to think about the character and the attributes of God. You want to pray for pray about something? Thank Him for that. Show love for others by boldly sharing with them the truth of God's grace and mercy and love. Let others know where you believe the basis of thanksgiving comes from. What's the basis of thanksgiving? Remind them of the godness of God, the goodness of God, the enduring love of God. And when we pray, ladies and gentlemen, let's thank God Almighty for that, for crying out loud. And remind folks and remind yourself that God's love is not fickle. His love is certain. And that in God's love, true security leads to true and absolute joy. As you share with others, as you plant the word in water through your example, through the work that you're doing with your children or your grandchildren, whatever the case might be, understand that God will provide the increase. Your friends will have the opportunity. Your children will have the opportunity. Your mate will have the opportunity. Your grandchildren will have the opportunity. Your nieces and nephews will have the opportunity to come to faith and to be changed eternally and to have their Father in heaven like you do, if it is their desire. I thank God for who He is. I thank God for how He loves me. I thank God for His consistency. I thank God for His patience. I thank God for His long-suffering. I thank God because He didn't give up on me. And He had every right to. Are you subject to the Lord's invitation this morning? Don't you want that as a father? Don't you want that kind of father? Don't you want God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, to consider you His child? Don't you want that? Don't you want to go to heaven when you die and spend eternity with Him? Don't you want to go home? There's nothing like home. And for our eternal souls, that's what our souls long for. Not this mortal body, not this clay, but home. The home of the soul, if for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er. Remember the song? That's what we sing, home of the soul. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, or you need to come with some issue that you would like the brethren to work with you on, or something that you've done to bring reproach against this church, and you need to make that public, ladies and gentlemen, do it today. Get on good footing with the God that loves you. As we stand.
Have you a heart that's weird?